I'd like to acknowledge the presence of my father and my mother. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to stand before them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God gave me a word for some people. Are there some people that are going through some stuff? That are going through some hard times? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, hard times, or should I say trials, you don't choose them and you don't expect them to come. Hallelujah. You just go on, you know, expecting, at least a normal human being. Hallelujah. You're expecting good things. Hallelujah. But sometimes, once in a while, you experience some trials. Hallelujah. See, one thing is guaranteed, or one of the things that is guaranteed in life is that you're going to go through a trial. Hallelujah. You're either currently going through a trial or you've been through one or two. Hallelujah. And if you've never had any trial, congratulate yourself. Your trial cometh. Your trial cometh. Hallelujah. I have a message called pushing through the trial, or pushing past the pain. Hallelujah. I've been studying a lot about Jesus, you know, and the interesting thing I find about Jesus is I finally realized that he didn't just come to die for you, which is very important, right? He came to reconcile you to the Father. But he also came to show you life, how to live life. Hallelujah. And he also went through every single trial and temptation that you are currently going through, or you've been through, or you are going to go through. Jesus. And he's a living example how to push past the trial. Whether it be broken relationships, or your children are not doing quite well, or you are not where you expect to be in life. Maybe your finances is having issues. Maybe it's your body. You're just having pains. You're having illnesses that you did not expect. You see, Jesus went through he said that he was tempted at all sides. Yes, he did not sin. Hallelujah. Which means that he went through pain. Can you imagine how Jesus felt when the people that he came to die for were the ones shouting, "Crucify him"? They were the ones shouting, "Crucify him." See, betrayal, especially by somebody that you love or somebody that you've invested in, the pain is unusual. It's unexplainable. And pastors have experienced it time and time again. In fact, pastors the Bible says that many are the afflictions of a righteous man. Many. Which means that you will experience many afflictions in your lifetime. And because you have given your life to Christ, it's like you put a bullseye on your forehead. And you said, "Attack me." It's like you put a dot on your forehead and say, "Attack me." Which means that as you've given your life to Christ, it means that the devil is looking for a way to take you out of that faith. And see, it's easy to praise God when everything is right. The true praising God is when everything is wrong. That's when we separate the ordinary Christians from the real Christians. When there's difficulty and you are still in the presence of God, that is when we know that you are a Christian. If you have all the money in the world, your family is okay. In fact, that's why in the modern, or should I say the developed world, Christianity is kind of dying. Because the government has made it conducive, so they have everything. So they tend to forget God. But the true Christians, even in the middle of the suffering, they are still living the faith. He said, in the days of adversity, if you fall, your what? Strength, your spiritual muscle is small. Jesus, imagine taking care of Judas, knowing that this guy was going to betray him. Judas, somebody that he fed with the word, somebody that he fed with food. The guy saw so many miracles, and Jesus knew that someone here would betray him. Jesus went through trials. Jesus went through trials. In fact, some of our trials are self-inflicted. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the truth this evening? Some of you caused your trial. Jonah caused his trial. They say go left. He decided to go right. He now found himself in the belly of a fish. He caused his trial. Some of you, God has been telling you, go do this, do this, don't do this, don't do, but you insist. You're causing your trial. If you are sleeping with a married man, child awaited you. Hallelujah. If you are stealing from your office, trial awaited you. There is no how. And some of us, trials just come upon us. In fact, it's so painful when you are doing the right thing and trial still comes. Hallelujah. I remember when I was my former office, I had done about 10 years. Then suddenly, from nowhere, you know how you start hearing office gossip about you and you're wondering, who are you talking about? Hallelujah. They're like, Amaka did this. Amaka disrespected this. Amaka doesn't know her work. Amaka is not technically sound. Amaka, the same Amaka that if you check my evaluation since I joined the firm, Esther. Hallelujah. I don't mean to tilt my horn, but I mean, that's who I am. I'm the child of God. Hallelujah. But on the 10th year, suddenly, the people that used to see me of value, suddenly didn't see me that way anymore. In that trial, how do you begin to explain that? No, I didn't do it. No, these people are saying something. It's your word against them. Hallelujah. Trial, even when you are doing the right thing, when other people are stealing in your office and you are the one reporting them and they now plan coup against you. Trial. Or you don't have money to pay your rent. Trial. Or your children are not behaving the way you expect them to behave. Trial. We don't choose our trials, but they will come. They will come. Some of us are still going through one right now. Still going through one right now. Hallelujah. Can I give you 10 things. I hope I finish. I won't finish 10. Praise God. But I'm going to give you about 5 things that you should do or you should not do in the middle of your trial. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Number one, you need to pray. Oh, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to fight that battle on your knees, oh. You need to speak in tongues, oh. In the middle of your trial, some English cannot explain what you are going through or how you want to get out of that thing, no. Some battles are fought on your knees, oh. There's nothing that you can do. You have to. You can cry and feel sorry for yourself. You know what crying does? It makes you more emotionally free. But that's not what you need. You need a solution in the middle of your problem. You don't need all this crying. What will crying do? How will it help you? You need to get on your knees and tell the devil, no, not Amaka. You need to begin to divide. Oh my God. We underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful things that Christians have. The ability to bring things into place and shaping things. Hakataralala. Not just, I'm not talking, you know, there's a type of prayer that some people are praying, you know, this one, life is okay. Do we know? You know when they're so cute? You know, I don't even understand how we can be praying and you'll be doing video. You know, cute prayer. Oh, Lord, I love you. You know, God, oh, my God, you were just so awesome. You know that life is okay. You understand? You can't blame that sister. She has not gone through any trial. But when you are going through something, hey, the tongues, the new tongues that will be coming out from your system. You, in fact, if the devil paraventure comes around your circle, you are dealing with situations. Ha! Hey, you have to wait. Hey, yeah. You have to wage war in the spirit. Do you understand? You have to wage battles. He say, the Bible says that things that are what did he say? Are temporal. But the things that are in the spirit are subject to change. Which means that what you are going through is temporary. You need to go into the spirit realm and bring something else out and change the situation around. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Can you put Jonah 2 from verse 1? Praying. Prayer. Praying. See, if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, or pray in tongues, sorry, you are just extremely limited. Do you understand? You are so limited. So that situation in my office, who will I pray against? The people that gathered to tell tales about me, do I know them? If I speak, Lord, I want favor. So I entered the closet and I started speaking in tongues. And God told me, be still. Be still. 3 months later, I got a job offer. Somewhere else. Better pay. You don't understand. I didn't know what to pray for because I could have been praying that let there be peace in this current job. Meanwhile, God had plans to move me to a better paying job, to a better life, to a better everything. That is the power of speaking in tongues. If I was praying in my own word, I would have been limited. Hallelujah. Jonah, we all know the story of Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God and he ended up in the belly of the fish. And this is what he said by verse 2, chapter 2. He said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Please, sister, contemporary, I'm a millennial. I'm not pastor, okay? I was struggling. I was like, how am I struggling? Please, anything that speaks normal English, modern day, not thou art thou. Do you understand? DJ, wax it, I be mix it. Praise God. So Jonah prayed out of the belly. Praise God. And he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And he answered me, I called to you from the land of the dead. Hey, do you know there are some dead situations? Seemingly dead. If they tell you, see, there's statistics and there's facts. Statistically, people with HIV don't succeed, don't live. We can manage it. But once it goes to AIDS, you die, statistically. The fact, by his stripes, you were healed. Statistically, a woman without a womb cannot carry a baby. Statistically, the fact, none shall be barren in the land. You have to know the difference between statistics because the world will tell you statistics, then the Bible will tell you facts. You have to know the difference because if you don't know the difference, you'll be relying on what is statistically proven based on man's knowledge. Can you shift to the knowledge of God? That is a fact. Hallelujah. That That brings me to my second point. You have to meditate on the word. The word has to be your fact. The word has to be your reality. Forget what is happening around you. Search in the Bible, what does God say about my situation? Because until you know the facts, you believe in statistics. Until you know that by his stripes you are healed, you will still be living like my body is deteriorating. If you know the fact that say none shall lack her mates, that is fact. So you will not be bothered by the fact that you are almost 40 and you don't have a husband, because that is statistics. Statistics say that if you are almost 40 and you don't have a husband, most likely you marry a divorcee. Or somebody that has a child or something. That is what statistics. Facts have been proven over and over and over again. There are even people that are 40. Marry fresh. You understand what I mean by fresh? Do you understand what they mean by fresh? Tear up. Do you understand? And not ordinary. Do you understand? God chosen. You know the one that carries you like egg. That's fact. None shall lack their mates. That's fact. Forget what the world thinks is statistic. Can you please find the facts for your issue? Can you please go into the word of God and say, oh Lord, what will you have me do? Or what does the word of God say concerning my situation? You take the word and you meditate on it. Hallelujah. Do you know that one thing that happens when you're going through a trial is that the devil plays mind games. He tells you that, is that abortion that you did? That's why you don't have any child. He plays mind games. And if you are not careful, you too, you will join him. You will say, why me? Why am I going through this? Why must my parents' generational curse follow me? The devil will tell you everything that he wants to tell you, because he's out to only do one thing: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you are in your trial, the thing that can protect your mind is the word of God. He said, meditate on it day and night. He said, your word will never depart from my lips. Hallelujah. You must meditate on the word of God. You must meditate on the word of God. Control your mind. Control your heart. Control your mind. Don't let your mind wander. He said, if anything is good, anything that is pure, focus on these things. Because if you keep thinking about your issue becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, more complicated, more complex. Then the devil, like the bastard that he is, he will now start giving you ideas on how to solve your problem. How many of us can testify? He will start asking, I don't know, why can't that guy just be on his own? So that we can be, I don't know. Because they give, anyway. He will start giving you ideas. You are looking for money, why don't you go and ask this your uncle? Or you are looking for money, you're a fine girl now. You're a fine girl now. Fine girls like you don't ask for money. You know what to do now. He will start giving you evil, evil, evil ideas. And if you are not careful, you will become it. Because you are going through a downtime. Do you understand? Which means that at that point, you may be at your lowest. You can be at your very last. Very, very last. And the devil, as the bastard that he is, he will creep up and tell you, go lower. Commit suicide. Die now. This life is not worth living. Die now. This life is not worth living. You will never get out of that situation. That's what he will tell you. But my brother, you stand up and you begin to speak in tongues. You begin to declare that I will get out of that situation. This is not the end of me. At the end of it is victory and victory all the way. That is what happens when you pray and you meditate on the word. You pray and you meditate on the word. Scripture starts coming out of you. And they say the word of God is life, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the situation from the situation. Hallelujah. You meditate on the word. You meditate on the word. You pray in tongues. You pray. Hallelujah. Number three, you don't speak negatively. You don't speak negatively. You cannot be countering your prayer with negativity. There's power of life and death in the tongue. Hallelujah. You cannot have prayed that God, this situation will end in Jesus' name. And you're not going around walking. Which kind of country is this? Everything is just black. There's no money everywhere. You can't. You have to constantly speak good things. It's difficult to, especially when your whole body wants to prophesy something negative. Your spirit man has to come alive. You cannot speak negatively about the situation. See, it's better for you to not even speak at all and just be praying in tongues. So every time the situation comes up, because even some of us, we like pity party. So rather, you've taken the situation to God. God is addressing it. You now go and say, sister, this life is tough. If you know what I'm going through. Because you want pity party, you want somebody to pet you. Do you want petting or do you want to come out of that situation? You have to decide. You have to decide. You can't speak negatively. Hallelujah. You don't speak negatively. Number four. You have to listen for direction. Listen for direction. 1 Samuel 30. Listen for direction. Because at that point, when you're going through things and you're praying and you're meditating the word and you're focusing on good things, that is, you're not speaking negatively, God is actually speaking because he's always speaking. Sometimes his instruction will be just, relax, I'm fighting this battle for you. Sometimes he will tell you to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Hallelujah. But God, as in God, it amazes me how God plans things. It amazes me. Someone in church shared a story. I don't know if she's in church, but she shared a story at one of the journey classes that we had. And that story blew my mind. Hallelujah. So she told me that when she was in, and this is about direction, when she was in school, no, when she was looking for admission, she was looking for admission into university. Hallelujah. And she had applied to several schools, and there was a particular school she wanted to go to. Now, she applied, and she didn't get in. She didn't get in. Praise God. Then she said her mother was praying. Then her mother got an instruction from the Holy Spirit to go back to that school. Bear in mind that she did not get what? Admission. She didn't get admission. So when God is giving you direction, you need to follow. Most of the time, when God tells you to do something, it doesn't seemingly seem like the thing. Do you understand? Like this is this, like when Pastor K was sharing about his bike. Do you remember the story about the bike? Where God told him to give out the bike. Some of us, we will bind the devil at that point. The devil, thou speakest. Hallelujah. But God told him to give out the bike. And at the end of the day, he got his money. The person got blessed. End of story. Hallelujah. So God told this woman to go back to the school. So she and her daughter, who is now a church member, went to the school. And they said they were just walking, and the Holy Spirit told her, walk on a particular path. So as she was walking, there was one man sitting, you know, just sitting around. And the man now said, madam, what are you doing here? And she said, I'm looking for admission for my daughter. The man now said, come, I will help you. So the man apparently was a top professor in the university. That's not the crazy part. I'm still telling you the best part. So the man sorted out her university and even went as far as to take her into his house. He was a married man, so he provided accommodation, feeding, everything. Everything. So first miracle, God said, go here. And she obeyed. Hallelujah. Then she got there. her daughter got an admission, got a place to stay, got basically like a mentor. So she stayed in that man's house throughout her university days, rent free. Now, in fact, that's a great enough testimony, right? Now, she said one day they were sitting in the parlor, okay? And she got a call and she started talking about her grandfather. Then the man now said, wait, who is your grandfather? She now said her grandfather's name and the man broke down crying. And she was like, sir, what happened? So get this. Apparently, that man, when he was young, he was also looking for admission. And her grandfather was a professor in a school. So, you know, the thing that she's doing, he's doing for her, that's what her grandfather did for him. He now said that that morning, he got a wake-up call from the Holy Spirit. Go and sit down there. This God. He said, go and sit down there. So while he was sitting down there, he kept on being anxious. Now, why am I sitting? The Holy Spirit said, just sit down. And immediately the woman passed. The Holy Spirit said, guy, bless that person. Do you understand what God did? God went back generations. God went back generations because God is an all-knowing God. So he knew that this guy's grandchild, generations ahead, would need admission. So he reversed something. You see, he gave the father something to do that will bless generations. You see, God will give you direction that your grandchildren... That is one of the benefits of always obeying God. You don't know where this obedience will lead. And it is always for your benefit. Can you imagine how God is so on point? As in, every time I think of that story, it gives me goosebumps. As in, God, really? So, when you are praying in the midst of your trial, if you are too afraid and you are not listening, you will miss it. You will miss it, oh. It's not the time for you to be scared. Fear and faith cannot work together. At all. So you calm down. And you hear, Father, I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. And sometimes, the doing is not to do anything at all. Just be still and know that I am God. Just be still and know that He is God. See, God can be trusted. God is looking for people that will take Him by His word. He's looking for people that will believe Him, that He says who He is. That He is who He says He is, and that He can do what He says He can do, and that what He has said to you personally, He will bring it to pass. He is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should change His mind. Has He not said it, will He not do it? The Bible says that He has lifted His word above Him to... God can be trusted. God can be trusted. See, your situation is small do. Tell your neighbor, small do. Whatever you are facing, please. Charlie, somebody has gone through this before. It's not a big deal. It's not too big for God. The day your problem becomes too big for God, God stops being who He is. The day your problem becomes too big for God to handle, God stops being who He is, and He cannot deny Himself. He needs people that would say, God, I believe You, and I will stay here. He said, be like the elders of old, who through faith and patience achieved or received their reward. True word, faith and patience. Which means that they received the word, and they received it, they believed it, and they waited. And they did what God said they should do. And then they received their what? Reward. can Sarah, such a person, can you imagine a 90-something-year-old woman giving birth? How did she, did they even have sex? I'm just imagining. But the Bible says they did. And she said her womb was now dead. You don't understand? It was dead. Statistics. Facts. Facts. Statistics. Hallelujah. And my last point for tonight. Don't lose your faith in God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Many people have given up in the middle of their trial and did not see the end. They didn't see the success. They were not able to give that testimony. In the middle of their trial, they gave up. They gave up on God. They gave up on their belief. Do not give up. Do not give up. Stay believing. Stay believing. Trust God. Don't walk away from God. He's not the one that gave you the problem anyway. He's not the one. God never gives anything bad. God never gives anything bad. Can we put James 1 verse 2 to 4? God never gives anything bad. And the amazing thing is that he says that he will be with you even through it. Hallelujah. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. He says, even in the midst of your trial, God is still more. This God is so good. He won't give you a trial, but he will use it to bless you. He will use it to mold you. He will use it to change you. He didn't give you the problem. He didn't give you the trial. He said he has already blessed you with all things. But you have trials. Yes. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God will take that trial and he'll begin to mold you. He will first change you. You become a better person. You become perfect, lacking nothing. You know what it means to go through something and overcome it. Then your testimony is sweet. It's what you have handled. It's what you have seen. It's what you have tasted. See, like my papa would say, a real message is better than a good message. Do you know what that means? A message that is personal to you, that you are sharing that this is what I have been through. You are more passionate about it than just reading the Bible and preaching. Your testimony becomes sweeter because you've been through something. You've overcome something. So you can tell me that this thing that you are going through is not the end of you. I've been through it. But very few people go to the very end where God is glorified. We abort the mission. We abort it. And we give up on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't give up on God. I still have about 5 more points, but I will stop here. Hallelujah. We'll continue next time. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate our Father in the house? Our man of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Were you blessed or what? Wow. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate Minister Amaka. That was awesome. Praise God. I was so blessed. So blessed. Hallelujah. And it's just painful, like she said. Some people don't actually get to the end of their story. You know? They don't get to the end. There's no use for you to face a trial and not come out with a testimony. She will continue. It's a series, so Upper Tuesday, she will continue. Praise God. So that she too will finish the story, Abby. She will finish the testimony. I like that last point that she gave, you know, that some people don't endure to the end. They don't endure today. And I pray for you that you will not give up in the middle. You will not quit in the name of Jesus. There's nothing as bad as starting a faith journey and not finishing well. Nothing as bad as that. And that won't be your testimony in the name of Jesus. James chapter 1 verse 12 says something. It says, I'm reading NIV. It said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. That's what she was saying. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, having stood the test, that the person received the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them who love him. King James says, blessed is the man that endured temptation. That temptation, you're talking about trials, okay? He said, for when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which is promised to them that love him. He said, blessed is that person that when they face those hard times, hallelujah. Oh. All those points are so powerful. Satan will tempt you. You see, many people say it's because of my condition that I'm living the way I'm living. It's not. People have gone through that same thing and came out better. Are you here, somebody? How to push through your trials. The Bible also said something interesting. In fact, the next verse of the scripture I just read, verse 13. I like that. Because she mentioned that, you know, there are three ways trials come to you. Number one, it can be by your own mistake, like she said. You went to look for trouble. You went to marry. You know, I cancel people from everywhere in the world. Sometimes I want to tell somebody that, is it that you don't like yourself? Somebody told me today that her fiancé, no, not married yet, fiancé, slapped her 3 times. 3. I asked her, you know me, I asked her, he slapped you 3 times or 1. He said 3. Neat. And they are not married yet. They are not married. It's dating. When he now marry you? Now it's drop kick. You know drop kick? WWE don't watch wrestling again. Drop kick. He will climb the fridge and proper drop kick. So there are some trials you are facing is because you yourself, you are not hearing word. So that's one. Other trial is coming because life happens. Sometimes it's not your mistake, it's not your fault. Life just what happens. If you are born in Nigeria, when your mate have been busy born in United Kingdom and the US, you find your way and land here. Life has happened to you. You are born in trials. You have been entered trial by yourself. It's not your fault or anybody's fault. Praise God. Then the third one too is Satan. Satan is a champion in causing trial. Sometimes, you know, because that's his job. He says he goes about looking for whom he will devour. That, see, you don't have to beef him. It is his job. This is the only thing he's doing, morning and night, when he wakes up, when he resumes in his office. They say, what are we going to do today? He says, we'll do what we do every day. Like being on the brain. They will go about looking for whom to what? Kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what they do. So it's not, he's on auto. That's what he does. He goes about the whole earth. Praise God. So sometimes your path will cross with his. And he'll just say, this is, I'm just praising God, enjoying life. And he will just try to attack you. The beauty of it is this. No matter how the trial came, God can always walk with you and bring victory out of it. Hallelujah. That's the beauty. That's our hope. Hallelujah. That's our hope. Whether you are the one that caused it, whether it was life that happened, or whether it's the devil that is trying to attack you, however it came, God, if you walk with him, and that's what Amaka is teaching us, if you can walk with those principles, no matter, I don't care how it came, if you can walk with those principles, you can come out on top. You can come out with a testimony. And that will be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate Minister Amaka one more time? Awesome. Awesome word. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet this evening. I like the first one.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.com. davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.